From the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies, this is Pardes from Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, Pardes alum. This week, not so. This week, the first week after Shavuot, is a good time to keep thinking about Torah, and one of the best places to do that is in Jerusalem at Pardes this summer. You could be there, and I urge you to check out all the different programs that are on tap from Pardes. They're listed on the Pardes website. That's pardes.org.il. If you know anyone going on Birthright this summer, we have a special program, Birthright Plus, that can be added on to any Birthright program, and the details are also on the website. This week, Naso with Rabbi Michael Hatton. Rabbi Michael Hatton is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi Michael Hatton.
Parshat Naso resumes the tally of the three primary Levitical families that was initiated towards the end of last week's Parsha. After the Torah enumerates the responsibilities of the family of Gershon and the family of Merari, it then provides an accounting of their number. As Ramban explained, in a slightly different context last week, the theme of the book of Bamidbar is that of journey and passage, and this week's Levitical census closely relates to this idea. After all, the three Levitical families of Kehat, Gershon, and Merari are responsible for the dismantling, transport, and assembly of the Mishkan at each station along the way to the Promised Land. The Torah goes on to detail various laws relating to maintaining the sanctity of the camp, expiation rites for the transgression of theft and false oaths, and the remarkable ceremony prescribed for the sota. This week, however, we shall focus on the passage that follows all of the above, namely that of the Nazir. God spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to Bnei Yisrael and say to them that a man or a woman who explicitly takes an oath to be a Nazir unto God shall refrain from wine and strong drink, vinegar, beverages of grapes, and grapes whether fresh or dried. During the entire period of being a Nazir, he shall consume nothing processed from grapes of the vine, neither from their seeds nor from their skins. All the days of the oath of being a Nazir, he shall not cut the hair of his head with a razor. Until the days of the oath unto God are completed, they shall be holy, and the hair of their heads shall be let alone to grow long. All the days of his oath to God, he shall not come in contact with a human corpse. He shall not defile himself, even on the occasion of his mother's, father's, brother's, or sister's death, for the Nazir of his God is upon him. All of the days of his oath, he shall be holy unto God." Number 6, verses 1 through 8. The Torah thus spells out the three different practices that the Nazir is expected to observe. Number 1, a rejection of any products of the grapevine. Number 2, a conscious practice of letting the hair of the head grow long and unkempt. And number 3, a prohibition concerning any contact with death, even in the case of one's immediate family. What is the significance of these three items? And for that matter, what is the exact meaning of the word Nazir? Surprisingly, the classical medieval commentaries seem to adopt a rather uniform view of the concept of the Nazir. Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra, from 12th century Spain, makes it clear that the practices prescribed by the Torah for the Nazir are intended to fashion a framework of isolation for that individual, to help him further his initial decision, to withdraw from all that society foolishly considers fashionable. A man or a woman who explicitly takes an oath to be a Nazir unto God, ki yafli, is understood by the Ibn Ezra to be a reference to a vow that is not only definitively expressed, but also remarkable, pele, for its sobriety. Ki yafli, yafli comes from the word pele, which is to say wondrous. For the Ibn Ezra says, "The majority of the world are led along by their desires." Commentary to chapter 6, verse 2. Wine, suggests the Ibn Ezra, clouds one's judgment and can thus interfere with one's service of God. By taking on a vow of abstinence, the Nazir expresses a concrete aspiration to overcome the temptations of this world. In fact, explains the Ibn Ezra, the Nazir is so called because he wears a figurative crown, in Hebrew a nezer, upon his head. For his mane of long hair singles him out as one who has broken the bonds of passion for the fleeting pleasures of this world. Ibn Ezra relates, realize that all people are enslaved to the enticements of this world. The true king who wears a crown of kingship upon his head is the one who has liberated himself from desire. For Ibn Ezra, letting the hair grow long is a means of singling out this individual and marking him in a manner that is exceptional. At first glance, Ibn Ezra's approach seems incongruous, for often we trumpet the platitude that the Torah does not advocate mortification, but rather sanctification. But considering the matter more carefully, we may in fact come to the conclusion that true sanctification is impossible without the perspective sometimes afforded by abstinence. Significantly, although the context of our parsha would appear to limit the duration of the Nazirite vow and to consequently downplay the desirability of living one's entire life according to its strictures, Ibn Ezra elsewhere makes it clear that a life of separation is not to be disparaged. Commenting on the Torah's list of forbidden sexual relationships in Vayikra chapter 18, Ibn Ezra explains the emphatic "I am the Lord" stated there in verse 6 indicates divine approval for the ideal of restraint. In his commentary to Vayikra, Ibn Ezra relates, God loves the one who is separated to serve him and to listen to his words, as is suggested by the paradigm of Mount Sinai, as well as by the first, quote-unquote. Is this not man's essence? Ibn Ezra's mention of Mount Sinai is a reference to the preparations taken by the people as the day of revelation drew near. God said to Moshe, approach the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothing and immerse. They shall be prepared for the third day, for on the third day God will descend on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Exodus chapter 19, verses 10 to 11. Conveying God's words to the people, Moshe explains, be ready for 3 days, and do not come close to a woman. And thus, the ideal state of being suggested by the moment of revelation, a brief interval during which the experience of God's closeness and immediacy was unrivaled, is introduced by a recess from sexual contact. The cryptic first mentioned in Ibn Ezra's comments above is a reference to the first human beings. In his commentary to Bereshit, he suggests that their consumption of the desirous but forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge awakened in humanity a sexual appetite that would henceforth constitute a constant source, not only of frustration, but also a potential cause of estrangement from God. For Ibn Ezra, man's essence is to strive for spiritual progress. But when his physicality is given the opportunity for unbridled expression, this most important of objectives is subverted. Although the Ibn Ezra may fail to make a categorical argument for the merits of a permanent state of Nazirite-hood, the Ramban from 13th century Spain comments in a fashion that is unequivocal. The sin offering brought by the Nazir at the conclusion of his vows was understood by some early Mishnaic opinions as a clear polemic against the self-denial of life's permitted pleasures, such as wine. But the Ramban emphatically disagrees. The reason for the sin offering brought by the Nazir at the conclusion of his vows is not stated in the text, avers the Ramban. He goes on, the rational explanation appears to be that this man is actually committing a transgression by concluding his vows. For up until now, he has been separated in his holiness and in his service to God. It would have been more fitting for this man to remain a Nazir forever, sanctified unto his God. He therefore requires atonement for deciding to return to the defilement associated with the desires of this world. Comments to chapter 6 of Numbers, verse 11. In this connection, it's worthwhile to consider the words of the Siforno from 15th century Italy. Like his earlier counterpart, Siforno understands that the ideal of the Nazir is to be, quote-unquote, separated, Nazur, from habitual pleasures, in order to be dedicated completely to God, to be occupied in the Torah, to follow his ways, and to cleave to him. Nevertheless, Sforno proffers that the Torah is very selective in its choice of abstentions for the Nazir. He is to be separated only from wine, but this in no way constitutes a license to quote-unquote abuse himself through fasting, for such conduct would lessen one's strength and cause a proportional reduction in his ability to serve God. The purpose is not for the Nazir to become an ascetic, to punish his body through self-flagellation after the manner of the monastic priests. Rather, let him abstain from wine only, for this will lessen levity and subdue his inclinations without weakening the body strength. Comments to verse number 3. In a similar vein, the Sforno explains, the emphasis on allowing the hair of the head to grow long is not arbitrary, for by so doing the Nazir casts behind himself all concerns of beautification and attention to his hair. Thus, here as well, separation from material desires is accomplished without recourse to general self-abasement and extensive neglect of the body. The essential life-affirming nature of these restrictions is of course suggested by the third of the Nazir strictures, namely the prohibition of coming in contact with a corpse. Like his counterpart the Kohen Gadol or High Priest, who alone shares a similar ban on being in attendance at the death or burial of even immediate family members, the Nazir's mission is bound up with life. Being in God's presence is connecting with the source of all life. Therefore, during the period of his vows, the Nazir renounces death. However, what the Kohen Gadol acquires only through lineage and appointment, the Nazir accomplishes through the exercise of his own free choice. He therefore merits to be holy unto God, to be quote-unquote illuminated by the light of life, and to be a teacher and a guide to the generation. Comments to verse number 6. The Sforno's contribution is significant, for he is suggesting that the Torah's purpose in presenting us with the challenge of the Nazir is not to denigrate physicality or to deprecate materiality, as if there is an unbridgeable chasm between the world of the body and the ideal of the soul. Quite the contrary, for the ultimate success of the spirit is predicated upon the healthy functioning of the body. Rather, the restrictions of the Nazir are gentle reminders that one's goals in life must transcend the desire to have a good time and to look beautiful, for these are paradigms for pursuits that, left unchecked, tend to consume us. At the same time, the lesson of the Nazir is not the straightforward observation that a life of unbridled physicality and uncurbed desire cannot, in the final analysis, lead to godliness. That is obvious. The message of the Nazir is much subtler. Ibn Ezra and the others are suggesting that we often commit the more elusive error of indulging our base material and physical drives in the name of Hidur Mitzvah, beautification and adornment of mitzvah performance, when in fact it is really just desire in disguise. We may be in fact living Torah observant lives, but still be very far from the ideal of living in God's presence. We are acculturated to social norms that venerate the body and idolize wealth. Often we justify our overattention to material pursuits by misinterpreting the Torah's ideal of sanctification of the physical as a license for its unmitigated embrace. Therefore, the Nazir points the way to a higher dialectic, in which the body and its passions are, on the one hand, not to be rejected, but on the other, must be tempered in the interests of spiritual growth and development. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Hatton. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.